Next, we have our first feature. Richard Matthew writes and reads his regular history piece. This month, he takes extracts from Agnes Pod's diary, an ordinary woman writing her everyday activities and thoughts at a difficult time in history.
History is often written by professional historians or about important people such as politicians, generals, celebrities, etc. And we rarely hear the stories of more ordinary people. History from the bottom up, as it were. This is why the diaries and letters of ordinary people can be such a rich source of information. One such diary is in the archives of the Norfolk Record Office, which has a huge collection of documents of all types and related to all types and classes of people. This diary records the everyday activities and thoughts of an ordinary woman living through an extraordinary time. This diary was written by Agnes Pod of Norwich and covers the years of the Second World War. On Friday, September the 1st, 1939, she writes, "They gave out on the wireless that while war has started today, it seems too terrible to be true." And on Sunday, September the 3rd, she wrote, "Very hot today, Dad in bed all day, Lily, Sid and Ma to tea, all the rest of the family to see us. Nothing fresh today, war declared." This is a good example of how her diary details the day-to-day activities of her life while also recording the falling of bombs and the wailing of sirens. Agnes was 71 when she began the diary, having been born in 1866. She was married to Frederick, was living in Doris Road, Norwich, and had four children, Frederick, Sydney, Lily and Jessie, all of whom are mentioned in the diary. She begins with a series of entries listing trips to see her family, the purchase of sheets, dress materials, tea cloths, blankets, tablecloths and curtain material. She mentions Dad, as she calls her husband, spending the day in bed, and the doctor coming to see Freddie, her son, giving him some new tablets. Throughout 1938 and 1939, she records family visits, trips to Sheringham, Scrapby, Yarmouth and Earlham Park, as well as to Bacton for a little trip with LJ and baby, harvest started in some places, country lovely everywhere. We also have weather reports. Nice summer day, bitter cold today, and on Christmas Day in 1938, the weather like the old-time Christmas snow, 12 inches deep. But life was also hard, as she's still looking after Dad, who spends much of his time in bed resting, and Freddie, who is sometimes at home, but frequently in hospital, which means she worries even more. In January 1939, Agnes is ill in bed herself, and when she gets up on Thursday the 5th of January, she is very shaky, Fred very ill, great worry, doctor says something must be done, as I can't carry on any longer. Freddie was much worse the next day, and 2 days later he was taken into a home, and she hoped he will be cured soon and all will be well again. Unfortunately, this movement from home to hospital and back again was to continue throughout the rest of Freddie's life. She had a series of people helping her at home. There is mention of Olive, Laura, Lily and Mrs. Smith. We learn that she had to tell Lily about her work and being late, think she had better leave, which Lily did. A new girl starts, but is very strange, very rude to me, refused to do what I wanted, so I sent her off after dinner, paid her 4 and 6 pence and stamped a card. That was the finish of her. When a new woman, Mrs. Smith, starts, Agnes thinks she is very cheerful and capable, and a few days later she reports that Mrs. Smith getting on nicely. She'll be very glad if she goes on the same. Mrs. Smith cooks the Christmas dinner, and Agnes records in early January that she's so glad to have Mrs. Smith, as she's just the sort of woman who she wants, as she can't do much herself. This is clearly reflected in an entry from mid-February, where Mrs. Smith has been away for 10 days, and Agnes says, "She got through somehow, but terrible muddle." By 1942, life has been continuing in this vein for more than 18 months. In March, Agnes goes to see Yeoman of the Guard and receives her monthly allowance, a £1 tin of Chivers Old English Marmalade and a £2 jar of Smedley's Strawberry Jam. Freddie is playing trombone in a band and giving lessons from home. On April 26, Agnes and Freddie Sr. celebrate their 52nd wedding anniversary. That night, the bombing raids on Norwich, that came to be known as the Baedeker Raids, begin. There are several entries which detail damage done to buildings in the area, but Agnes' house was not hit. In May 1945, the war in Europe ended, and she writes, "Tuesday, May the 8th, 1945, Great VE Day, war over in Europe. No more fighting for all the brave men and women who have saved us from untold horror. No more sirens, no more fear, and ahead, no more bombing. Thank God, and may we never forget his mercy." On the 15th of August, 1945, Agnes records, "Thank God the war is over in Japan. VJ Day. Went to Jesse's to tea and heard the King's speech, then went out to see the fires and fireworks. Went through the city and on top of Mousehold where we could see the whole city. Mary and Janet enjoyed it very much. They had never been out so late at night, nor seen such a sight on streets lighted up. It was all like fairyland to them, and a night they will never forget." The diary ends on November the 22nd, 1945, with, "Freddie is home again after 8 months in hospital, with rheumatism in hands and legs, has had 23 gold injections, is better, but still not able to walk properly, but is glad to be home again." Agnes Pod died on the 22nd of November, 1948, in the Grove House Nursing Home in Norwich, and her son Freddie died in 1951. In addition to its documents, the Norfolk Record Office also has an archive of audio recordings. Perhaps we should all record, or write, a diary of at least part of our lives.